Welcome to St. Luke's Lutheran Church's weekly sermon podcast, where our mission is clear: to love, serve, and welcome all. By all, we mean the whole rainbow of God's people. Join us as we dive into the Word of God to discover how to be a disciple of Jesus, living our faith every day. Let's walk this journey of faith together.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of the sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it possible to imagine Christianity without Christ? The novelist Flannery O'Connor thought so. As many of you know, Flannery O'Connor wrote so many engaging pieces with great insight and subtle humor. O'Connor loved to poke fun at life and culture using deceptively backward Southern characters. Her writing made the strong point that all life, even the most awkward and grotesque, is infused with grace and with God. I had a wonderful seminary professor and mentor named Charlie Cook. He was an Episcopal priest and a professor of pastoral theology. Charlie found a great deal of literature to contain excellent material for theological investigation and reflection. His reading list always included something of that sort, and one of his favorites is Flannery O'Connor. In one of O'Connor's novels, entitled Wise Blood, she writes about Hazel Motes, a preacher of the church without Christ. And this is what Hazel has to say. "Well, I preach the church without Christ. I'm a member and preacher to that church, where the blind don't see and the lame don't walk and what's dead stays that way." The church without Christ. And that may strike us as both humorous and bizarre, just as O'Connor intended. But Hazel Motes' understanding of the gospel, where the blind don't see and the lame don't walk and what's dead stays that way, may not be far from how we sometimes experience life. Here we are, 3 weeks after Easter. The Easter colors are here. The Easter themes continue with Easter hymns. Our scripture today comes again from the day of resurrection. It's not enough that the tomb is empty. It's not enough to proclaim Christ is risen. It's not enough to believe in the resurrection. At some point, we have to move from the event of the resurrection to experiencing the resurrection. Experiencing resurrected life begins with recognizing the risen Christ among us. And this is the gift of Easter, and it's also the difficulty and challenge described in today's gospel. Think about Luke 24 again, and start 2 weeks back when we heard the first part of this story. This is Easter day, according to Luke. Jesus is walking along the Emmaus Road, talking to the disciples, but they don't recognize him. And then they arrive at Emmaus, and they sit down at a table to eat. And Jesus takes bread and blesses it and gives it to them. Then their eyes are opened, and they recognize him. But it says he vanished from their sight. And so those disciples hoof it back to Jerusalem, 7 miles on foot, after dark, and told the others how they had just encountered Jesus, and that indeed he had risen. Then we pick up the story today in verse 36. While they were talking, Jesus shows up again there among them and says, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See, it's me. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And then it says, while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. It appears on that first Easter, even the disciples were trying to be the church without Christ. They were not seeing very well, not even recognizing the beloved Savior in their midst. God shatters human categories of who God is, where God's life and energy are to be found, and how God works in this world. Jesus' resurrection can never be comprehended or contained or controlled by human thought and understanding. Jesus' resurrection compels us to step outside our usual human understandings of reality and enter the divine reality. And so, they were startled and terrified. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Startled, terrified, frightened, full of doubt. The Greek words here are much more vivid than the usual translation. They're more like sincerely troubled, emotional turmoil, cognitive confusion, hearts full of conflict and despair. I think we, you and I, know a bit about this state. And even though we're just 3 weeks removed from Easter, we can quickly fall into feeling sincerely troubled, into emotional turmoil, into cognitive confusion. And before we realize it, we find ourselves in the church without Christ, where the blind don't see and the lame don't walk, and what's dead stays that way. In my time as pastor, I would get calls or texts from someone whose relationship was in trouble, saying, "Can we talk?" There would be emotional turmoil and doubts about where Christ might be in this. Or when the body gets frail and the voice gets weak and the doctor comes in and says, "Let's keep things simple and keep them comfortable." And that generates fear and uncertainty that make you wonder where Christ might be in this. And when the challenges continue, when the thoughts keep racing through your mind and you cannot sleep and you toss and turn for yet another night, it's easy to wonder where Christ might be. And then every day we have increasing worries about our world. Will the missiles from Iran lead to a broader war in the Middle East this week? Will the chaos ever end? Can the earth sustain rapidly growing population and intense climate issues? Sincerely troubled, emotional turmoil, cognitive confusion. We bind ourselves through our fears, our sorrows and losses, our runaway thoughts and distractions, our attachments and addictions to things, to people, even to beliefs. Sometimes it's our unwillingness to allow or trust God to grow and change us. In binding ourselves to the created order, we lose recognition of and the ability to live in the sacred. So we can easily find ourselves in a life without Christ, where the blind don't see and the lame don't walk, and what's dead stays that way. But Jesus, the Christ, wants to lead us in the ways of faith and life toward the kingdom of God. Jesus, the Christ, shows up. The life of Christ reveals that all creation, every one of us, are filled with God and holiness and divinity. Nothing can bind or supersede the grace that is given to us through resurrection. Unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness, unconditional life. That is, I think, one of the most difficult things for us to see, to believe, and to live into. It is, however, the divine reality into which we are invited, not at some future time and place, but here and now. And Jesus the Christ ushers the disciples, ushers us one more time from fear and doubt toward confident, perceptive faith, and from wandering confusion and emotional turmoil to living faithfully into the world. Jesus the Christ shows up and speaks with love and compassion and an offer of peace. Why are you startled? Why do doubts arise? It's me. Look at my hands and feet. All of this intends to assure them that the risen Christ is the embodiment of life. He's no disembodied spirit. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. Our resurrected life is not acquired, it's received. It happens when we risk unbinding ourselves from the usual ways of seeing, living, and relating. This is not a rejection of that natural order. It's allowing the natural order to open to and reveal something more. That's what happened to the disciples with Jesus' hands and feet, with flesh and bones. They saw and recognized something about Jesus. And in doing so, they saw and recognized something about themselves. Holiness. And it happens for us too. And then the verse says, he asked for something to eat, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Now, the Gospel of Luke is full of stories of Jesus having meals with people. He dines with women and outcasts. He dines with tax collectors and sinners. But this points to a new life of the disciples. They will be hosting others, serving others, sharing his hospitality, feeding his sheep in Christ's name going forward. And then Jesus, the Christ, encourages them further with his teachings. He says to them, "These were my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." And the whole message, Jesus says, is about repentance and forgiveness of sins. Way back in the beginning of Luke, even chapter 1, John the Baptist announces a ministry of repentance and forgiveness of sins. This is what God is all about, the way of the kingdom. This is what God has always been about. All the laws of Moses, all the prophets, all the Psalms, the way of God. It's about turning from our ways, repentance, and turning to God's ways, forgiveness. It's not about serving self, but serving God. It's not about doing what we want in the world, but doing what God wants. It's about being released from oppressions and depressions and living in God's love. It's about freedom from sins and living with love. It's about all the things that Jesus did in his life. Jesus welcomed everyone. He forgave sins. He healed the sick. He helped the hurting. He taught us to reorder our lives. If you have two coats, give one away. If someone has wronged us, forgive them. If your neighbor is thirsty, give them a drink. If your child is in a far-off land and estranged from you, welcome them home and have a party. If you're a disciple, you love one another. You be kind to one another and offer what you have to help one another. These are all the things that Jesus teaches over and over. And then on that Easter day, when the disciples realize he is risen and is standing among them, Jesus says, "This is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations." There it is, the reminder that disciples are to carry on Jesus' same loving and caring and healing, justice-seeking, peace-building work in the world. Let's not lose this moment. Let's not put this text behind us. It's much too easy to come here on Sunday and listen to the gospel and an inspiring sermon and then return to life as usual, or worse, to the church without Christ. Don't let that happen. Your life is too important to let that happen. Carry this text with you over the next week. Let it open your eyes and your heart and your mind to the life that Christ is offering you. Let it be the voice of Christ opening your mind to understand. Sit with it. Pray with it. Wrestle with it. Trust it. You are witnesses to these things, he says to us. Tell it. Live it. Believe it. The resurrected life is yours. You are witnesses. You are witnesses. Let the church say, amen.
Amen. Amen. Filled with resurrection
joy, go in peace, to love, serve, and welcome all.
Thanks be to God, and we will.
If you're inspired by this week's message and want to learn more about our mission to love, serve, and welcome all, we invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. We're located at 1210 West Beltline Road in Richardson, Texas. For more information, visit our website at stlukeslutherantx.org. Connect with us on Facebook at stlukeslc or on Instagram at stlukeslutherantx. Thanks again for joining us today, and we look forward to welcoming you into our community.